whose birthday's coming up. She's going to be 90. And so Sherry's got a, we're going to get a basket. She got one card filled out. And what you can do, there is an address for her if you want to mail it. And I think they left the addresses out there. I have it on my phone back there. And Stephanie's got something. But if you want to get a card and address it to Barbara, just put Barbara's name and all on it. We'll get a basket and put them all together. And Paul or Sherry and I will go down there close to that time and take them to her. So that would work out really good. That might be even a little bit better in a sense, instead of them kind of filtering in over a period of time. Get them all down there at one time. How about that? So that'll be a blessing. Ephesians chapter 3. Give you a second to get there. So many things going on. It's hard to keep up with what's what. Ephesians chapter 3. Down the last two verses in that chapter of Ephesians. And the Bible says there, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We've been looking the last couple of Sunday nights. I had preached about the sin of prayerlessness. Last week I preached about, how to get the victory over prayerlessness. And then tonight what I want to talk to you about is the blessing of prayer, the blessing that we have of prayer. And so note in our text and what it said in verse 20, that unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. All that we ask or think. And of course, ask certainly represents prayer. He's able to do above all that we ask in prayer. You ever thought about that? I mean, what does that tell us? I mean, we usually don't ask big enough. We're not asking big enough. Pastor Frank used to say, if you aim low, you'll hit it every time. You know, we should aim a lot higher. Pastor used to be here before me. So all that we ask, and then, but it goes on to say, it kind of gives us a reason, a little bit of a reason. It said all that we are able to ask or think. In other words, we can't even think big enough. I mean, we can't ask big enough because we can't think big enough, but I still think we can ask bigger than what we do think what we're capable of thinking up to. You know, we just don't ask big enough the things of God. Boy, what God could do, and I'm telling you what, it's a lot. I mean, I know we usually want God to do it through somebody else and not us, but that's another thing that you got to get straightened out along the way. But, we should ask God, for big things. It says, according to the power that worketh in us. According to the power that worketh in us. Now think about that. You know, a lot of times, we phrase this a certain way, but it doesn't actually mean it that way. Say, well, you know, there is power in prayer, but the power's not the prayer. The power unleashes, or the prayer unleashes the power, but the power is not the prayer itself. You know, God is the power. The power that worketh in us is God himself, God in the flesh, God the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. I guess God in the Spirit would be a better way to put that. That's the power that works in us. And so it's not the prayer, it's the person. But the prayer is what really unleashes the power. I mean, we're in communion with God when we pray. When we pray, see, there's a lot of things going on. I'll probably repeat this, but, you know, God reveals his will to us through prayer. When we pray to God, he's telling us, he gives us his will. And, of course, God works through us, and so we pray, and here's the power that works. It's the power of God. Read that. You know, you have to kind of let it sink in. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above, more than we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The power of God. Man, listen, what can't the power of God do? I mean, he breathed life. He spoke creation. He could think it into action if he wanted. He could think it into being if he wanted to do it that way. This is the power of God, the creator of the universe. That's the power that works in us, that God can do anything through us. If we would just you know, when we start thinking about asking, what do we ask God for? We ask God for so small things, usually physically related, sickness related, health related, crisis related. Listen, he's above all that. There's a lot much more than, you know, the topic is a lot bigger than that, you know, which I tell you all that on Wednesday night a lot. There's, you know, the things that what God could do, the power that is available to us. It's through prayer, but it's not the power itself. And so even after we get the victory over the sin of prayerlessness, you know, this knowledge, what we think. Now, listen, we can't, you know, I think Paul talks about the knowledge that passeth, to help understand the knowledge that passeth all understanding. That's kind of a hard, that's like an oxymoron in a way. You know, if it's past understanding, we'll never know. But I think what he means is this: there's a lot more, we can know a lot more than we do know. We'll never know it all, in other words. We can know a lot more. And so the things that we know about God, you know, we're never going to exhaust that. We can always keep learning and growing and knowing something else about God. But what happens? So this knowledge, this process that comes, you know, I think as you start knowing more about God and you start praying more, I believe that your prayers will get bigger. I believe your requests will get bigger. They'll change too as to what? Less carnal, more spiritual, you know, less of the flesh and more of the spirit, less on self and more on God's will, what God's purpose, God's work, you know, more, that's how your prayer life changes as you grow in grace. It's something that's a process probably that goes along. There's no speed limit to it. I mean, it doesn't mean, you know, that it's definitely going to take this many years to get to a place, but there's still a process. It just depends on how much you surrender yourself to God and how much you look to his word and how great is your faith. So we think about that. Now, as I said, we'll never get to or exhaust and get to the end of the realization of all the power that God has that's available, or that what God could do. What could God do through just you? Everybody, see, this is when we get that low opinion of ourselves all of a sudden. You know, we think, which it's not us, it's God. But we think, well, God couldn't do that with me. So your frailty, your weakness is greater than God can deal with? Is that what you think? That's the way people come across them. Oh, I could never do that. Greg, God could have you singing like a bird. If he... I was kidding. Greg, no, man, I can't get up there and sing and all that. Now, you know. But there's things that God could do that we think, oh, no, God couldn't. We'll look at the Apostle Paul. We'll look at some other great saint that we know about, somebody somewhere, and think, man, ain't no way. No, really, God can do it. God could do it. If God wills it, God can do it. God can do it through us. He can do great things. It's always somebody else. So then we get down and say, oh, but, you know, with me, it's an impossibility. No, it's not an impossibility, whatever God wants to do. I mean, you're singing, it may be an impossibility, but God, because God deemed it that way. But what I'm saying is God could do, what could God do if we really, you know, let go and let God do and trusted him and just let him fill us and we got ourselves out of the way. Man, I mean, all these great things that we've seen, we haven't seen it. We haven't seen what would happen. So what a blessing. And he says we can't think it even. He tells us that. So what a blessing it is to know this. This ought to keep us in prayer all the time, right? We ought to be in prayer all the time if this is what it is. So I got two main points that, you know, that are kind of big. Just the way I wrote it down, I'm going to lay it on you here tonight. I don't know how long it'll be. If I say it's short, it'll be long. And if I say it's long, it'll be short. So we'll just see how God deals with us, God works. The very first thing is, number one, the victorious life, the victorious life. So what is in store for the person who gets the victory over prayerlessness? What is in store for the person that gets this victory over prayerlessness? Or a weak prayer, superficial prayer, which is really not prayer at all. It's just going through the motions, checking the box. You know, we pray. Old Dwayne, I was talking to Dwayne at the funeral. We were waiting for the funeral to start Friday, and Dwayne said, man, I tell you know how Dwayne talks, gets him lips. Man, I tell you, he said, he said, He said, I was up there. He said, I didn't even preach. He said, I got in the pulpit the other day, and I'm telling you what. He said, I told the church. He said, I'm not going to preach just to check a box because I'm supposed to preach. He said, I just didn't feel like it. I didn't feel it. I didn't feel preaching. He said, I got up there, man, and I started talking to people about forgiveness and forgiving people. And he said, they got a camera. Like, he said, I got my face right in the camera. And he said, you people sitting at home. And he said, I started talking about not forgiving people. And he said, man, people started crying. Man, people came down to the altar. He said, you know, not doing it because that's prayer, man. That's prayer preparation right there. And so, you know, praying that God, you know, is in control. Pray, what, you know, what is, man, that's the key. So what's in store when we get the victory over prayerlessness? Number one, in the way I wrote it down, unbroken fellowship with God. Remember, this is the blessing of prayer. Unbroken fellowship with God. What a blessing. Not having a broken fellowship. Think about this. This is when we have unbroken fellowship with God, we have a deep consciousness that God's grace has done something in us. See, this is the people that, you know, there's people that, and I know Satan's involved in this, and I remember people say, well, you know, I'm just not sure if I'm saved or I doubt my salvation. I shared with this before, and I believe this with all my heart. I believe that when we get in communion with God, I'm talking about a real communion and real prayer. When we know that we've been in the presence of God, nobody walks away from that discouraged. I don't care what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter what is going on in your life at all. You will not walk away from that discouraged, right? So we're going to be encouraged. But boy, I'm telling you what, there's nobody, I don't think, that gets in prayer with God and gets in communion with God and has a consciousness in their conscience, conscious that God has done something in their life. They're not the ones saying, well, you know, I don't know if I'm really saved or not. The only time we doubt our salvation is what? When we get into sin. Amen. Which it doesn't have to be robbing banks and killing people. It can be the sin of prayerlessness. Huh? It can be the sin of unfaithfulness. It can be any kind of, we can just get away from God. The person that's away from God is the one that wonders about, down in their heart, maybe they wouldn't verbalize it, but they would wonder whether they are really saved or not. But I'm going to tell you what, man, you get in there and you get in communion with God in prayer. I'm not talking about the mealy mouth, repetitive, 35 and a half second prayer that we would say most of the time. I'm talking about praying to God and pouring out your heart to God and God speaking to you and you spent some time in that sweet hour of prayer. Huh? That person there knows that they have a relationship with God. Their conscience that God has worked in their life somehow. Maybe not to perfection, but there's a working of God that's going on in their life, and they're confident of that, and they know that God is there. That's a blessing. I mean, it's a blessing to know that you've been in the presence of God. It's a blessing to know that God is dwelling in you, that there's the fullness of God. Man, that is what a blessing that is. What a privilege that is. What a privilege. It's a realization that we bear His image and are made for communion with Him. I mean, when we get in communion with God, listen, I mean, that's the things that He reveals that to us, that we bear the image of Christ, that we're ambassadors for Christ to the world, that we're His. This is a blessing. What a privilege. So many people shun it. I'm talking about Christians, man. They're afraid of it. They're worried about it. They don't know anything about it. They're not thinking about every... Because listen, not everybody knows it. Not every Christian knows experientially that God has really done something in them. And when this happens, listen, we begin to realize that our time in prayer is the happiest time of the whole day. Now, I'm going to just tell you like it is. There's been times in my life, in my prayer life, I couldn't say that was the happiest. It wasn't a bad time. It was a rushed time, a prerequisite box checking event because I knew I was supposed to pray. I wasn't thinking about, man, I'm going to be in communion with God here, man, and God's going to reveal his will, and he's going to fill me with himself, and I'm walking in the glory of God's presence that nobody else can see but me in my personal walk, you know. And not everybody knows this. And so, like I said this morning, boy, prayer becomes a burden. You know, that's a burden. It's like, oh, man, you know, I need to spend time in prayer. Oh, my gosh, I got to pick the kids up, and oh, man, I got to hurry up and get it done, right? We try to do it. It's not like when there's something we're going to or we're going to get into and we get excited about it and we're so excited we can't hardly wait to get there. The fish are biting David or turkeys are gobbling Larry. Huh? I'm going to spend time with God in prayer. Huh? You forget all about them turkeys and them fish and them deer heads and all that stuff. Huh? Man, not everybody knows this. They don't know it. God shares through the communion of prayer. God shares his plans. He empowers us to carry out his plans. Notice I said his plans. He makes us a fountain of blessing to the world around us. This is the blessing of prayer. Listen, you're not equipped. You can study this book from one end to the other. Learn Hebrew, learn Greek. Know all the tenses, the past tenses, the present tenses, everything you want. If you hadn't been in time and in communion with God, you are not prepared.
Amen.
You may be prepared intellectually, but you're not empowered by the Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you, nothing will ever come out of it. Nothing until you have been in the presence of God. And the world can see it. They knew Moses' face shone. He didn't know it. When he come off that mountain with God, his face shone. He said, Moses didn't know it. They knew it. Everybody else will know it. You ain't got to put a sticker on your bumper that said, God's your co-pilot, which he ought to be the pilot to start with. Huh? That my boss is a Jewish carpenter. You haven't got to tell the world through a bumper sticker. They'll know. Huh? They'll take note that you have been with Jesus. And listen, when that happens, then we become a fountain of blessing to the whole world. We'll never be a fountain of blessing, I don't care what it is, what else we do, until we are empowered by God himself. And that'll never happen until we spend time, communion time, in prayer with God. This is a serious thing. It's just no way around that. Unbroken fellowship. We're not in fellowship. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. Oh, preacher, hey, nobody can do it. Let me tell you something, man. You get in the presence of God, you won't want to do nothing else but that. You won't want to do anything else but be in, and you won't want anything to break the fellowship with God. This is what's required. Why? Because you got to walk step by step, day by day, in the power of God. You know, that's how you do it. That's how you live. That's the Christian life. Jesus said of my own self, I can do nothing. In other words, he can't take the next step without him. He knew he wouldn't take the next step. I mean, this is what we can do in the power of God through unbroken fellowship with God through prayer. So we'd be a fountain of blessing to those around us. It'll be the happiest time of the whole day. If you've ever been filled with the Spirit of God, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And it exists through the power that comes from prayer. The power, another thing is the power for his work. We don't have the power. Kind of already touched on that a little bit. We don't have the power within ourselves. In the sense, I mean, I know the Holy Spirit's there, but listen, he can be quenched and grieved right out of the ability to do anything, or he won't do it in us. Listen, we won't have the power to do the work ourselves. We will not have the inclination to do it. In other words, there's no desire. You don't work it up. Mm-mm. You don't work up the desire. God puts it there. God does it all. And we wouldn't have the inclination or the power to glorify God or fulfill his purpose. It's not done. That's why we have to be in prayer, man. We have to be in serious communion with God. And when we pray, listen, we receive both of these things, the power for the work and the inclination to do it. You know, we desire. It's really Christ doing it through us. He's there. You know, he's the one. And I spoke about this, I think, last week. Listen, when we're filled with Christ, we're filled with everything that entails. The fruit of the Spirit's a singular word. It's all those things, and it's all Christ. He doesn't give us those things apart from himself. It is himself. He's Christ. And boy, all that is in our life. And then we realize, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, Philippians 4:3. I can do all things. Not all things we want to do, all things he wants us to do. Jesus showed us. Jesus was the example. He did it all through the communion with the Father. Of his own self, he said, of my own self, I can do nothing. God the Father did it through him. It's amazing. It's amazing. God did the work through him. So that tells us that I ask you this one time, he didn't do anything in his own deity when he walked as a man. Why? He wouldn't do it because he wanted to show us how to live the same way he did, dependent on the Father. He depended on the Father every step of the way. He didn't use his deity to get out of a jam because we couldn't do it. We had to depend on him. We have to depend on him. So the Bible tells us we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors through him. It's through him. Now listen, these aren't lies. Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's not a lie. That's the truth. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, Philippians 4:3. That's not a lie. That's the truth. All things that God wills, you know, it's all a possibility. As I said, we read about the saints of the Old Testament, or even the New Testament back in those days, and we just think they're so far above what we could be or do. Same God, same will. Same God's got the same purpose, the same work. May go about it different ways, but it's the same. They were empowered by God's. Just think about that. They didn't even have a Bible. They didn't have commentaries and lexicons and biblical dictionaries and all these things to turn to. How did they know what they knew? God put it, God empowered them. God laid it on. Where all the writings that we read, where do they come from? Not one of them got it out of a book. Not a single one of them got it out of a book, man. I mean, they had some Old Testament scriptures, or they knew what they were. They might not even had them. They just knew what they were. They knew the verses. But where did those people get the words? These were the first. It was just God. It came from God, God himself. It's never the man, it's always God. It's never the man. It's always God in every case. And anything that's going to get done, I'm not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to do it. God's going to have to do it. God will do it, whatever it is. If it's just personal in your life or what God wants to do. And listen, trust me, God wants to do more than what we're doing through the little sphere of people that we, you know, he wants to do more than what we do, what we see. So we see that. Then we see the privilege of being intercessors. That we get to pray to God for other people in a lot of other ways. Once again, sickness takes a priority, and there's people that need sick. But if you ever notice, in Paul's prayers, I don't know, seldom ever find him praying for some kind of physical need for somebody. It was usually for spiritual growth. Somebody would have knowledge. They would be enlightened. Their eyes would be opened. Spiritual thing. He prayed for the Jews that they would understand, you know, realize the Savior. Prayed for the Gentiles. Hardly ever just... mention, you go through whole prayers and never have a sick person prayer request. I'm sure they were just as sick in those days as we are today. Not that he would have been against it, I don't believe. Paul encouraged us to pray for all saints, to pray for other saved people. Just the other day, out of the blue, Dr. Shannon Lamont, he was here a few weeks ago on Wednesday night, the Bible Literature and Bible and Literature Foundation. Out of the blue, man, I don't know if it was a Sunday night or Sunday morning, I get this text from him on my phone. We have prayed for you. That's powerful. I get texts from Harold from time to time on Sunday morning. Blessings and prayer for you today, brother. Oh, speaking of which, Debbie had her knee replaced on Friday, so keep Debbie Vaughn in your prayers. Had her knee replaced. She's on the mend. Sherry texts back and forth with her. She said the fourth day is like one. That's like a turning point day for her. But anyway, knee replacement surgery. But boy, you know, right there Sunday morning, I'm getting ready to come down and get in the pulpit. All of a sudden, bleep, get a little text on my phone in the morning, I'm usually thinking it's somebody saying they're not going to be here. And I look, Harold Vaughn, blessings, brother, power today. Power, that's what he's praying about. Power today. Man, that's an encouraging thing. Isn't that great that we have the privilege and that we have a audience with God that we can pray for somebody else? Prayers are not bound by time and space. Somebody could be all the way on the other side of the world and pray for you and I, pray for you. They can lift you up in prayer. They don't have to be right there. Somebody will say, hey, preacher, can you come over and pray with us? Sure, I don't mind coming over and pray with you, but I'll tell you what, my prayer will be just as effective if I pray from here. You know, I mean, we don't have to. It's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying it's not, there's nothing that, you know, and just think about it. That through prayer and the power that it would unleash, that we can have an impact somewhere in this universe. Somewhere else, not where we're at. I mean, we would have it here too, but I mean, we can have an impact somewhere else. The power of prayer. We pray for Israel. You know, we prayed for Ukraine during this business. They've been going through this war and things like that. What an impact. That's a privilege, man. That's exciting. If you believe it. You know, I think sometimes we pray for these places, but we really don't understand the power that's wielded there or that can be. And the Bible says that we pray to believing. We have to pray believing that this is, you know, and we're praying in the will of God. Man, that's a powerful thing. There's a power that comes down, a sanctification that comes as we are in the inner chamber of prayer. When we pray with God, if we pray long enough to get all the world and all the distractions out of our mind and we spend time with God, there's something that takes place there. And what an influence we would have and can have and do have on the world. What an influence we have on the church. You know? I mean, what did you pray tonight for the service tonight? What was it? This is probably what it was. Asked Sherry, we prayed. I said, you know, God, something unusual. We want something unusual to happen, you know, that we're aware of the presence of God. Just that we're aware. Fill us, that we're aware. And prayed for a filling of every saved person here. And if there's someone here that's not saved, I prayed that there would be an awareness that they were in the presence of God. Amen. Great prayer. Huh? I mean, probably didn't say it all that great. It didn't. That's how I said it. Wasn't a lot of big words, was it? But this is a prayer request. That it would just be unusual that we would feel the power and the presence of God. Shouldn't we ask for that? I mean, shouldn't we pray for that? Do we think about praying for that? I mean, huh? You know, God's got a time limit, brother. If you didn't pray an hour before the service, he's just not going to do it. No. We just prayed a little. We went over there. Mike was in here getting the stuff ready over here. Sherry and I went over there and prayed. Pray before you leave. Pray tomorrow. Pray the day before. Pray today for next week. Pray today for Wednesday night. Pray every day. Whatever. You know, what do we have? This is what an influence that we could have. It would influence our church. What if we all cried out to God for that? And then spending time in fellowship and communion with God Himself, it's a privilege. It has an influence on us. It influences us. We'll never influence the world if God's not influenced us. It's that, you know, that's how it's got to work. And then the more we realize this ourselves, the more that 1 Thessalonians 5:17 becomes a reality in our life, and that verse says, pray without ceasing. Why would you want to cease when you're in communion with God? You wouldn't want to. You know, you'd constantly want to be talking to God, thinking about that. Beyond all that we ask or think, God can do greater things than we have seen or we have experienced. I'd like to see that. Huh? Get out of that rut. Listen, prayer's not merely coming to God for something from him. It's not even that. Like, oh God, you know, I'm going to pray so I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think if we really get on right praying ground, there'll be, I don't want to say consequences, that's probably not the best. There'll be results that we're not asking for, you know, that's just going to happen. It's just going to happen, filling of the Holy Spirit. It's not merely coming to God seeking something from him. It's fellowship with God. See, a lot of times we don't look at prayer like that. I mean, right down to the reality, where the rubber meets the road. A lot of times we think when we go to pray, we're saying, God, I want to ask you for this. And it could be good things. Like I say, praying for somebody's health is good. You know, if I'm sick, pray for me, please. I'll pray for you. But that's not the end of it. It's not even scratching the surface. But a lot of times we look at prayer like that. Oh, crisis. Got to pray to God. Moot, problem. Got to pray to God. So, sick. Got to pray to God. We're not looking at it like, man, I'm going to get over here and pray. And wherever you be, at home, wherever you're doing. And I'm going to really be in communion with God. We're not thinking about it. I mean, we just don't, I mean, if I asked you that on a test, you would go, oh yeah, you know, yeah, that's right. But we're not thinking that way when we go to prayer, that we're going to fellowship and commune with God. We're not thinking about it. And being brought under his power and being brought under his holiness and being brought underneath his love until he takes possession of us. And buddy, that's praying ground right there. This is praying ground, man. You could do yourself well just to study the prayer life of Paul in the New Testament. A lot of the letters, almost all of them, there's a prayer that comes up. And just mark down what he's praying for. See what he says. You'll understand everything. But see what it's grace and growth and, oh man, and faith and knowledge and power. All those things, man. I like the saints in the Old Testament. I like in Acts, after some of them had been locked up and they were threatened not to preach. What did they pray about? They said, give us boldness. Boldness to preach the gospel. What happened? The Bible said the place shook. That was probably, I don't know if somebody in that prayer meeting said, Lord, cause something to happen unusual tonight. Woom. The building shook. Yeah, that was good, right? I mean, they prayed for boldness to preach or to speak the gospel. We need to pray that same prayer. And then this becomes the secret of worship. This is really what worship is. You know, I got a little peeve about this when people now, today we've turned music, and nothing wrong with music. I'm a music lover. I love music, man. All kind of music. Different genres. Some of it I ain't real fond of, but the music leader's the worship leader, like music's the only thing that can be worship. I don't like that. The music leader is not the worship leader. The pastor is. We're worship. Listen, you can worship God and never sing a song and never say a word. Not even able to speak. Prayer. That's worshiping God. That's a worship. Man, worship. It's not just music. Oh, that's worship. Shoot, we could sing the doomsday. And if we didn't have a prayer life and never came in the presence of God in prayer, it'd be worth nothing. Nothing. That's worship. And we'll get onto that if we spend time in prayer with God. Galatians 2:20 means that we're entirely done with ourselves. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. Paul had it figured out. It's not I, but Christ. And it's only through Christ that we have access to God the Father. It's through him. And this is the victorious life. This is how you have the victorious life. It's because it'll be his life, not yours. That's how you have the victorious life. Now, it may not come all at once. Like I said, it may be a process. You have to grow. You have to learn. Somebody's got to tell you. But God is patient, too. God is patient. So we have the victorious life. And then the second point is we have the abundant life. The abundant life. John 10:10 talks about the abundant life. You know, a man could have life. I was the chaplain at the Bryan Center, and And the people that are still in there, the people that are on the beds, they had life. But they were, everybody in there was on a ventilator. Everybody, and most of the people were never coming out. I mean, not a lot. They would stay there. They, you know, they had to be on a vent. They couldn't eat. They had a food bag, feeding tube, whatever. Were they alive? Yeah. But was it the abundant life? No, it's not the abundant life. Well, spiritually, the same thing can happen. Spiritually, you could be saved, but not have the abundant life because you're spiritually sick and not physically sick. And it, you may not, you know, and in the spiritual sense, it's because we're not filled with Christ. You know, we don't have everything that we should have or experiencing everything that is available to us that God has given to us. The abundant life is an overflowing life. Man, I mean, it's when Christ is just flowing out. We talk about being a blessing to others. You can't be a blessing if you're half empty. You can't be a blessing until you're overflowing and it flows out to somebody else. And the overflowing life is a life of prayer. That's the overflowing life. The abundant life is the full Jesus having full control over the entire being through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the abundant life. The full Jesus having full control over the entire being, person, through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the abundant life. There's three aspects. I'll be done in a minute. Three aspects in which the Holy Spirit makes known the abundant life. The one aspect is as the crucified one. Jesus not only died for us to atone for our sins, but he has taken us up with himself to the cross to die with him. We share in the crucifixion. We share in his life. Every aspect of his life, we share in that. Starts with crucifixion, dying to self. That's self-crucified, right? Take up your cross daily. It's the self-life. And that's part of fellowship with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Paul said that. He realized that. I am, not will be, not have been, in the present tense. I am crucified with Christ. And so he, the crucified one, lives in us, in me, if we're saved. So we participate in the same life as Christ, every aspect of that. And then as we yield to Christ, he will accomplish the crucifixion of it. See, we can't even do that. We talk about that. Well, you got to crucify the flesh. You can't do it. Flesh is not going to crucify flesh. You're not going to nail yourself to a cross. We have to do it through Christ. He's already been crucified. We partake that way. It's that way. So we participate in that. And then another aspect is as the risen one, the risen Christ. Right in Ephesians, you only got to go back one page, 19 and 20, number one, chapter 1, 19 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. What's the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? The greatness of his power, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. See, it's the omnipotence of God working in us the same way, the resurrected life. Now we share in the resurrected life. There's a lot of other verses that testify to that. We share in the resurrected life, the resurrected life of Christ. And that becomes our power. It's your power in daily life. It's the resurrected Christ. That's the only power that we have. Amen. It's the only power that we have. It's his resurrected life power in us. That's all we have. He didn't send the Holy Spirit till he was crucified and resurrected. Then he sent the Holy Spirit to empower us. And then we were conformed to his death. We were conformed to his life. And then the third aspect is as to the glorified one. This is the abundant life. It's Christ. Christ sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to empower us for everything. His work, his will, whatever. Not only his work in us, but his work in the world. And he received, when listen, think about Christ. When he went, he at his baptism, Spirit came down like a dove. He received the Holy Spirit for the work that he was about to face. Of course, right off the bat, he was tempted in the desert, wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days and then tempted, but then he went to the cross. And he walked in that power. From that day till on the cross, he offered himself without spot to God. That's how he did it. That's an example to us. That's how we're to do it. And so what a blessing that we have. The Holy Spirit, we've received the Holy Spirit with power from the glorified Jesus. All this is entangled up with our, not tangled up, but entailed with our prayer life. And now he can work above all that we can ask or think. The power of God, right? The blessing of the life of prayer is the abundant life, the victorious life, the full life, the powerful life. And it's none of it's for our glory. None of it. Not a bit of it. It's all for his glory. It's him. All for his glory. Think about that. He didn't send his Holy Spirit so we could get hair standing up on the back of our neck and goosebumps all over. He sent his Holy Spirit to empower us to accomplish his will, his purpose. That we could be a blessing. That he could be a blessing to the world through us. And see, it's still not us. He could be a blessing to the world through us. All his glory. And let me tell you something. It's a reality. It's a very real, present possibility in every life. Every life in here, it's a very real present possibility. Whatever, you know, pray about praying. You know, you may have to do that. You know, I don't feel like, well, tell God that. Tell him you need the inclination. You need the power. You can't get over the hump. You can't get whatever it is. Tell God that. Huh? And boy, the prayer life, you'll find out the prayer life is the blessed life. Amen. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. Paul, come, we'll have an invitation. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the privilege that we have to